We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Excited about the afternoon with you here. Get 1 hour to just get through every headline that happened over the last 5 or 6 days. That's a lot, folks. That's a lot. So I'm going to be talking fast, but would love to hear from you as well. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Right up off the bat, we got to talk Super Bowl. I just can't help it. I know you probably already heard more than you ever wanted to know about the Super Bowl yesterday and already halfway through today, but I just can't help it. If you're a frequent listener, you know that I broke my boycott of Major League Baseball last fall whenever the Rangers did not do a Pride Month thing, and then they made it to the World Series, and I grew up a Rangers fan and 28 of 30 baseball parks across the country and all that good stuff. So I finally broke my 3.5 year boycott. Had not watched a single pitch of baseball, which was very hard for me. I'm telling you, I'm a big baseball fan. Now, we made up for it with becoming UFC fans. But I ended up breaking the boycott. My youngest son talked me into it, and I'm glad I did. It was actually a wokeless World Series, so I didn't have to put up with any of the woke stuff. Nobody was kneeling for the national anthem. There wasn't a push on any of the nonsense, and just great testimonies from so many players. Just, you know, expressing their faith and just, it was cool. I enjoyed it. Okay. So fast forward to the Super Bowl. Hadn't watched a down of football since the Black Lives Maoist. Shout out Cornelius. I haven't watched a down, not one play of football in 4 years. So, here comes the Super Bowl. Everybody's talking about it. For 4 years, I've just been like, boring. I gotta, you know, we got a nation to save. I don't have time for a football game. And then once again, my 21-year-old son, birthday on Ronald Reagan's birthday, by the way, February 6th. So last week he turned 21. Anyway, so here he comes again, putting the pressure on dad to stop the boycott and to watch the Super Bowl again because of the faith of so many of these players. And so he starts telling me the story of this kid, you know, quarterback for San Francisco, Purdy, and starts telling me about the running back that's, both men of faith and expressing their faith, and then sends me a clip of this kid, you know, talking about Psalms 23, and just I was just blown away, man. I was impressed, and then find out, you know, several of these players, the kicker for the Chiefs, being, you know, outspoken man of faith. And anyway, so. All right, he talks me into it. Of course, I can tell you, I wasn't near as excited about watching a football game as baseball, so I was actually more excited that a bunch of friends were going to come over and chips and salsa and some good eating. And so anyway, they come over, and we watch the game. And of course, the other storyline, everybody's talking about Taylor Swift and this Kelce guy. Okay, so all of that, I decide to watch the game. Great game, by the way. I mean, it really was. It was just an outstanding game, incredible finish. I was, of course, pulling for what was the Babylon Bee put out? It was Team Jesus versus Team Pfizer. I thought that was pretty funny myself. So I was pulling for Team Jesus, man. I was not pulling for Team Pfizer, and which I cannot tell you how difficult it was for a Dallas Cowboys fan, growing up a Dallas Cowboys fan. I have never cheered for the 49ers for anything ever in my whole life, and I actually found myself cheering for the 49ers. That was hard, and I'm good friends with a former 49er lineman, great man of God named Bruce Colley, with great kids. His kids grew up with my kids. He was a constituent of mine when I was in the House, and they were great supporters, yada, yada, yada. But despite his Super Bowl rings and having been a lineman for Joe Montana, I still did not soften on the 49ers, even for him, even though he outweighed me like 3-1 and could squish me with a thumb. I still would not in any way, shape, or form say anything positive about the 49ers for him. Yet here I found myself Sunday night cheering for the 49ers. It was weird. It was just weird. Kind of a surreal experience. Okay, so they end up losing, so everybody knows. But here's the thing. Here's the things that stood out to me in watching the football game. Number one, this Kelce guy should not only have been benched and fired and retired and fined and all that good stuff. There should have been outcry about how you do not go up and grab your coach and scream in their face and literally physically assaulting this guy. This was off the charts unacceptable. Okay, I don't know if he's got rage from taking so many Pfizer vaccines. I don't know if he was just worried that Taylor Swift was going to dump him if he didn't win the Super Bowl. I don't know what his reasons were. But what you allowed for was you allowed for a coach to be assaulted by a player for the whole nation to see without any repercussion. Therefore, what have you said to every kid on the playing field all over the country? No need to respect your coach. If you're a good player and you think you should be in the game to save the day, then go scream at your coach. This was not a, you know, singing the song, put me in, coach, moment. This was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting. And yet he still gets to, you know, have the post game press conference holding up the trophy and yelling and screaming and is literally lauded by his coach later. Oh yeah, that's just, you know, no big deal. And I mean, what a simp. I mean, that was embarrassing that the coach afterwards, a guy that should have the respect of his players, would apologize essentially for his player acting like that. Anyway, horrible, horrible example for kids all over the country in any sport. And I guarantee you will see more of that now. You'll see more of that on the field with the kids. I mean, I'm saying this as a guy that coached many, many, many baseball games of little leaguers, T-ballers, high schoolers, all of it. And I'm telling you, that was a terrible example for the youth of America and coaches everywhere. We're cringing at that, going, wow, you just gave a license to every kid to throw a fit, to argue with the coach. I mean, there is only one response to the coach. Yes, sir. Yes, coach. And this is just, I'm so embarrassed for the NFL, and it makes me regret that I even watched the game. The fact that they didn't have repercussions will only increase. Listen, everybody loses their cool. I've lost my cool. I get it. I mean, but there should have been a consequence. It shouldn't have been a just gloss over it and act like it didn't happen because he's dating Taylor Swift and he's brought a bunch of, you know, teenage girls to football games now watching, you know, spending money on NFL, which is the only reason I can think of why they would not punish this guy. He should have been kicked out of the league for it. That is so unacceptable. And yet that is where we are in the NFL and in our country. Okay, the other NFL story, of course, that you've probably already heard much about is this ad campaign by Christians. Well, actually, it's not Christians necessarily. It's a mix of Christians and non-Christians using Christianity to sell leftism. And it's this whole He Gets Us ad campaign. And I'm probably going to be – I'm going to get some hate mail and some calls and – and I'd love to hear from you on this one, because maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm reading too much into the messaging of the images in this ad campaign. If you disagree with me, please let me know. If you agree with me, let me know. 888-589-8840. Here's what the ad was. You know, they basically show all these images of people having their feet washed by obvious Christians doing the feet washing, and then the people having their feet washed are people that are, you know, going in to get an abortion, or it's a minority, or it's an illegal immigrant, or it's every left-wing cause you can think of. And it's not like in church at a communion service where they've now, you know, given their life to the Lord and they're now taking communion and having their feet washed as a part of the communion service and everybody's bonding and it's what Jesus intended when he said, you know, do this to each other. No. They're literally at the abortion clinic. They're literally show a pro-life activist outside the clinic with their signs, and they're the bad guys. Yeah, if you're pro-life, you're the bad guy. And if you're the person getting the abortion, you're the good gal or guy. And you're, you know, obviously the guy supporting the girl getting the abortion. So all those folks participating in abortion, all good. We're going to wash your feet and make you feel better about your sin. Not ask you to not sin or ask you to turn from your sin or ask for forgiveness of your sin. We're going to wash your feet during the sin and just celebrate it with you. That's the take-home message to this ad, as far as I could tell. Now, many of you listening, you may have never washed feet or had your feet washed. I'm just telling you, the images that they portrayed were very narcissistic. Here's how Matt Walsh put it. He said, putting out an ad that invites narcissistic, prideful, unrepentant sinners to come and get their feet washed is bad, actually, and also completely unbiblical. And I think that's the right description. I agree with Matt. And the images are very arrogant, right? Like sitting there in a very kind of awkward position for the foot to be washed and very much with, at least it says to me, I deserve this. I want this so that you are humbled. You humble yourself and wash my feet and stop making me feel bad about my sin. Stop judging me. And therefore, this whole, instead of the opposite of judgment is, I'm going to wash your feet as you're in the middle of your sin. Now, folks, that's not biblical in any way, shape, or form. And then I saw people commenting, well, Jesus washed sinners' feet. Jesus went out and washed the disciples' feet. He washed the feet of those who had come to him. And even though Judas was in the group, listen, they were all there as disciples. So they were at least proclaiming that they were repentant of their sin. And so let me just say this about the foot washing. I've been in many communion, situations where we washed feet. And in every one of those situations, I was broken. I mean, whether I was washing someone else's feet or they were washing my feet, I mean, I'm tearing up now even just thinking about it. I'm telling you, it's an emotional, humbling, broken ceremony. You're literally saying, Lord, I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve your love. I am a sinner. I don't deserve the love of this person that I'm washing the feet of. And yet I'm humbling myself to wash their feet to say I love you, and we share the forgiveness of Christ that God has forgiven us. And then when your feet are being washed, you cannot help but weep because you know you're undeserving of that for sure. And yet these fellow Christians are humbling themselves to wash your feet. I'm telling you, it's an emotional, powerful sacrament. And I think this ad is completely sacrilegious to suggest that you would take this thing that Jesus did with the disciples, that he told us to do with each other as fellow Christians, obviously flawed, obviously all of us are depraved, obviously all of us need a Savior. This is not about that person doesn't deserve to have their feet washed. It's that you don't go get your feet washed saying you deserve it. That's the opposite of it. That's the opposite of what's happening. When your feet are washed in a ceremony like this, you are humbled by the fact that you don't deserve to have your sins forgiven, to be accepted by Christ. You don't deserve to have your feet washed by a fellow believer. And the whole attitude with which this commercial was done was all about, the whole message was, stop judging people for their sin and instead celebrate their sin. That's what the message is unbiblical, folks. And the idea, don't judge, that's not what Scripture says. It says, judge not lest you be judged. Of course we're supposed to be discerning. Of course we're supposed to, judgment begins with us. We have to judge our own actions and say, this is sinful, I need to change it. And of course we have to have the ability to say to each other, man, don't do that. That sin's going to harm you. It's going to hurt you. Love is actually being willing to speak that. Love is washing the feet of someone that has humbled themselves and come to the Lord, given their life to Christ and repented from their sin and doing their best to walk in that forgiveness. So I think this was terrible for the body of Christ and for the country. And I know some people are going to disagree with me and say, hey, at least they're speaking the name of Christ. Maybe it brings people to Christ that wouldn't have otherwise come. And so I may be wrong. I may be being too knee-jerk reaction to this thing. I don't know. So I'm anxious to hear what you have to say. 888-589-8840. Phones are starting to light up. We'll go to you folks on the phones as soon as we come back from the break. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio. with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. We are talking Super Bowl ads, which used to be so much more fun. Now, there were a couple of them that I was cracking up at, I got to admit. But I tell you what, I was disappointed. Even the Clydesdale, you know, Budweiser ad, I'm like, you know, they're trying to rehabilitate their image after the Bud Light thing and everything. The Clydesdale ads were always so patriotic. You know, it was like there was either American flags or the Statue of Liberty, and it was just, you just felt a pride in America. You didn't even realize it was a beer commercial. It was just, you know, America. I mean, and this one, I don't know. The one I saw didn't even have a flag or anything. Maybe I missed it. Anyway, a couple quick headlines, and we'll go to the phones, get back on the He Gets Us blasphemous ads, at least in my opinion. Number one, more states are sending National Guard troops to the Texas border. That's a good thing. Looks like so we've already had Florida, Idaho, Ohio, Oklahoma, and North Dakota with personnel at the Texas border. Now you got Arkansas, Iowa. I said Ohio earlier. Arkansas, Iowa, Indiana, Louisiana, Missouri, Utah, and Tennessee. Pledging troops to Texas to help seal the border. So very good there. I will probably come back to this depending on our calls and how much time we have, but obviously need to just mention the once again another transgender murderer at this time in my home state here in Texas, in Houston, at Joel Osteen's church, massive church in Houston. And just, you know, man, this stuff is out of hand. It's the same psychotropic drug stuff and you know, hormone therapy, all that stuff that messes with people's minds, let alone you're already dealing with a mental illness. This one, man, bringing in a five or seven-year-old child as a human shield, evil, evil stuff here. So thank you to the officers, off-duty officers, that stopped this incident before anyone else was killed. Just another reminder, folks, you need to make sure your church has a good security team. You've got a lot of people out there that are telling the transgender community that Christians are their enemy, and that Christians are, you know, need to be taken out in order to prevent the transgender person from you know, being able to groom children, from being able to have their transgender surgeries and all that kind of stuff. That's what they're being, you know, so they're being taught to hate Christians, and that's why you see this increase in mass murder violence against Christian schools, Christian, you know, churches, all of that kind of stuff. So the enemy is among us, folks. Satan is moving across this nation to divide and create horrible, you know, situations like this. And so you fight the propaganda without a doubt, and at the same time you physically be prepared to repel evil if the wolf comes knocking at your door. So very important for folks to do that. But I thought those two headlines, and then one other quick one. Looks like Donald Trump is calling on or endorsing Michael Whatley to be the new RNC chair. Apparently the North Carolina chairman of the North Carolina Republican Party. I do not know Michael, don't know anything about him. So that's intriguing to me. And then also asking that his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, take on the role of vice chair or co-chair or something to that effect. So that could be an interesting topic to dive into if anybody wants to call in about that one. And let's go back to the Super Bowl ads that portray foot washing of it's Christians washing the feet of people that are every leftist, you know, cause that you can think of: homosexuality, someone getting an abortion, illegal immigrants. I mean, you name it. And of course, I've already made my opinion known. We'll go to the phones and see what you guys think. But, you know, definitely not a the tone is all wrong. The attitude is all wrong. As I mentioned in the first segment, done foot washing, had my feet washed many times in a communion type, you know, scenario, and your heart is broken when you're doing it. Both when your feet are being washed, which was always harder to me than washing someone else's feet, knowing that you're not deserving of God forgiving you of your sin, all of those things, your heart is broken, you're humbled. It makes you want to serve God better. It's totally different than what was depicted in these pictures. It's a distortion. The enemy loves to distort the things of God. And that's what I think has happened here with this ad. And I know some will disagree with me and think this is going to cause people to be curious about Jesus and all that. Boy, I think that's a very blasphemous way of trying to get the name of Christ out there. All right, let's go to the phones. See, top of my callers here, I've got a Texas call from Letty. Letty calling in from Texas. Letty, go ahead. Comment or question, insult, whatever you got. Go for it.
Okay, let me start. You had said something about not judging. It is what to judge, okay, but not by our standards, by Scripture. Okay?
Amen.
Because the keys to life are in Scripture. And it, we got to constantly be on our game and be reading the good book, because that's the answer to everything, from raising Amen. Children to taking care of parents to living life. And Amen. On the deal with the commercial of the foot washing, but if you go back into Matthew, you go into Luke and several others, it says he didn't come tonight. He came to divide. Okay. Mm. He came to divide. So on that note, he's dividing his from, hey, he's calling out his children and saying, come out of her. Come out. You're in the world.
Yes.
You don't belong there. Come out. He's here to divide. And you got to be able to walk away from your children, from your parents, from everybody. And because it's a personal call. When he calls you, he's not calling out the world. He's calling out his. And he's not going to lose a one. You go back into John, he says, all of mine know me. I've got them in my hand and can't nobody take them out of his hand.
That's None. Right.
But with That's that, right. hey, love your program. Thank you so
much. Thank you, Letty. God bless you. Great call. I think, very important point. In fact, this came up in a conversation the other day I was having with a family. It was some, I can't remember the subject or the category, but it was, that came up, don't judge. And, or who are you to judge? That was the comment. And I said, well, it's not me. I'm not judging and we're not judging. This is God's judgment. This is God's rules, not mine. Hey, I'm just the messenger. I'm just kind of like here's the rules. Here's the instruction manual. Here's what God said is good and what God said is bad. What will be blessed, what will be cursed. And, so that led a great point. It's not us judging. It's God's judgment. It's God's laws. It's his universe. He's the one that created it. Here's the rules that he put in place. And that also kind of makes sure that we're not being self-righteous about it. If we keep that in mind, that, hey, we fail as well, but that doesn't mean that we remove the bar. The whole idea that everybody sins does not mean that now there is no reason to look at sin at all. The idea that we none are righteous, no, not one, or we don't reach the bar doesn't mean you remove the bar. It means we continually are striving to be more Christ-like. So, good call. Okay, let's go. Next one on my list is Nicole from Ohio. Go ahead, Nicole.
Hi, how are you today?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for calling in.
Great, thank you. So I also have been struggling with the He Gets Us ad campaign. And what I think about is there's many stories in the Bible where Jesus was accused of eating with sinners, being with sinners. Why does the man go to sinners? Well, I think the campaign does a great job of depicting that he comes to you wherever you are. He meets you where you are. You don't have to come to the church to find Jesus. He's pursuing you. He's pursuing all of us, right? But he's pursuing the woman. I stood outside an abortion clinic, and I prayed out loud, and I watched a woman go in, got out of her BMW, a very well-off woman, clearly from the suburbs, and it was so sad. It's heartbreaking. So here I am trying to pursue these people, and no, I hope I never have to step foot in an abortion clinic, but he has to find us first. And I just think maybe perhaps that does lend some credence to the campaign in my mind, because he's got to find you first before you're willing to come to him. I could see that
as an intent, right? That's what they were after, is that we're going to where they are, which I would argue, if you take the image, for instance, of the abortion clinic, what they did was they took someone like you that was trying to go witness or influence in a positive way and made you the bad guy, because you're standing over there with your sign or with your you're praying for them, but you're not actually washing their feet. And by taking the foot washing and inserting that into the ad, now they're basically taking a sacrament. They're basically it would be like saying you should give communion to someone that hasn't even given their life to Christ. It's very similar to that. So that's I think the problem is, or where the struggle comes, is that, yes, absolutely, we should go to where they are. And I don't think anybody in the church is against that or says not to do that. The real issue is, when you go to them where they are you saying to them, don't worry about, coming out of your sin. Don't worry about changing your behavior at all. We're going to love you, and you participate in all of our sacraments. You come be a part of the church, and don't change. Just keep doing what you're doing. I think that's the real challenge with the way that the ad is presented. But great point. We absolutely should be going to where they are. Okay, Greg in Tennessee. Let's see. Yeah, go ahead, Greg, Tennessee. You're up, Greg. Go ahead. Comment or question.
Just wanted to share 2 Corinthians 10:5-6, and it says, casting down all imaginations and any thought, casting down all imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And in verse 6 it says, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Satan is trying to put out an imaginary gospel.
Yeah.
And that ad, that commercial, was what people's imagining of what the gospel means, not the truth of what the gospel means.
That's good.
But where it says in verse 6, having a readiness to revenge all disobedience, the revenge there is not payback, it's truth attack.
That's so good, man. Yeah, it's so, I love what you said. It's what people today, and too much of the church itself, but in this case, it's, again, the people that apparently are running this ad campaign aren't even necessarily Christians. It's a mix. But it's how they imagine the gospel to be. It's what they imagine Christ to be instead of what he actually is and what the gospel actually is. That's a really, really good point. Okay, heading over to North Carolina. Sharon in North Carolina. Sharon, go ahead.
Yes, I think that ad, it's always irritated me every time I see it when they run it on television. That they're asking the question, you know, or saying, you know, he gets us. And it should be, do we get him?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a great point. Yep. Oh, that's right. I mean, and that's what we're supposed to be becoming like him, not saying we're going to be more like the sin or the sinner. And listen, folks, please understand, I am not one of these, you know, uptight, everything's got to be done, you know, the way I see it and, you know, perfectly and all that kind of, I'm actually very, probably way more, I don't know what the right word is. I'm not uptight like I was 25 years ago and like a lot of the church has been accused of being. I totally get that. You know, we should be going out into the places of sinners. I don't get hung up on things that I don't even think are sin, but maybe their behavior that doesn't you know, that some people see as, you know, not dressing exactly right, or, you know, having even when it comes to things like alcohol and someone drinks a glass of wine or whatever. I mean, we used to just get so hung up on these little things. That's not what we're talking about here. This is not some little nuance of a behavior or the gospel. This is literally the difference between whether or not you speak truth in love, but you speak truth and you stand on the word of God, or you say anything and everything's okay, that there is no gospel, that there is no right or wrong, that there is no standard, that there is no such thing as sin, or you know, that's what's being portrayed here, and that is so far off from what Jesus came and said and did and why he died for our sins. He didn't come just to make us feel good. He came to save us. He came to get us to move away from sin. So I just think this ad is going to do way more damage than it actually does good. Okay, Franco's been waiting a while. Franco in Mississippi. Go ahead, Franco.
Yeah, hi. I have to thank you for taking my call, first of all. And I have to totally agree with you. Just because somebody comes in the name of Jesus Christ doesn't make it right. Matthew 24:5 says, many shall come in my name and shall deceive many. That was totally blasphemous, and it shouldn't have happened. And I just got to totally agree with you. I'm going to keep it short because I know other people are waiting. So thank you so much for taking my call. Thank you so much for your program.
Well, thank you, Franco. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in. Good points. Let's go to James in Kansas. James in Kansas, you're up next, man. Comment or question or insult, whatever you got, go for it.
Real quickly, thank you for what you do for spreading the truth, Rick, on
Law
Builders as well as AFA at the Core. Many people that are, well, some people that are listening may give you the Dickens for speaking the truth. I think that there's a verse in Ephesians that is sometimes forgotten. Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. What you're doing is exposing. That regarding the Super Bowl, I don't listen to hardly any. I'm just an hour west of Kansas City. Don't listen much to the Chiefs, but I'm more college football. But I've never heard a sporting event that had, and I was listening on the radio because I didn't get to watch the game. I never listened to a sporting event ever in my life, and I'm in my 60s, where there have been so many pharmaceutical ads on the radio, and they were primarily for Pfizer. And on that note, I know that Travis Kelce is the captain of Team Pfizer.
Yeah.
But in the pregame, they were interviewing Joe Montana. He played most of his career, obviously, with the 49ers, played a couple years with the Chiefs. But he is the co-captain on Team Pfizer because he was clearly promoting the clot shot, the jab, whatever you want to call
it.
So I thought that you might not be aware of that. I'm not
disagreeing
anything. But he is a co-captain with Travis Kelce on Team Pfizer.
Yeah. Ah, James, thanks for calling in, man. No, I did not know that. That is incredibly disappointing. And just simply another good reason why I should have never cheered for the 49ers. Just ever. I should have, I 52 years, no cheering for the 49ers. Why would I break that? I shouldn't have. No, but you're right on. All the ads, oh, my goodness. Pfizer was all over the place. And that's when, Kelce has basically just, sold his soul for Pfizer. It's been just embarrassing. That's why Aaron Rodgers calls him Pfizer boy. So, yeah, good point, man. It's all over the place, unfortunately, in professional sports. And the sellout to the money. Man, follow the money. When we come back, just hang in there. We got a quick break. I'll be right back. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with us. All right, before we close out today, I'm going to get to this. The Babylon Bee has it's just hilarious. Hilarious list of 10 reasons or 10 signs that you're a dangerous Christian nationalist. So be ready, folks. I'm going to help you identify whether or not you're on this dangerous, dangerous list. But we're going to save that for the end. Let's go back to the phones. We got Cornelius calling in from Louisiana. I was just calling you out, Cornelius. Did you hear me mention you earlier in the program?
Oh, you know that. And look, I was telling the call screener, listen, it's Mardi Gras here. Let's say le bon temps roulet. Let the good times roll. But look, I got something for you. You know I'm the Black Lives Maoist.
That's
so
right.
I'm going to give you this. Woke, willfully okaying evil. So that's something you can take with you, too. Willfully
there we go.
Okaying evil.
Man, I'm writing it down right now. Willfully okay. Do you sit around and come up with these? This is too good. Willfully okaying evil. All right. I think Cornelius and I should co-write a book. What do y'all think? That would be fun.
I love you, but God bless you. I know more people want to get on. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody tomorrow.
Right back at you, brother. God bless you, man. Thank you for calling in today. All right, let's head over to, let's see where we headed. How about Texas? And it's Paul in Texas. Hey, Paul, go ahead, man. Comment or question today.
Yes, about the foot washing. I found it mildly entertaining because, as I predicted, once they got past the third scene, it was stereotypically oppressor washing the oppressed feet in every case. So I disregarded it. What I call then is the one that sent my blood pressure from zero to the room right away was the Pfizer commercial.
Yeah.
The style, there's nothing wrong. They had whimsical, scientific historical figures like Einstein and Newton singing about science. But what just gets me is Pfizer trying to bear the mantle of science. And to me, hiding test results and fabricating results and all the political machinations that were done to support them and all the people that were harmed. If you want to wear the mantle of science, you better start dealing in some truth.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Love that.
Paul, you're spot on, brother. You are spot on. And I felt the same way. And it was interesting. Last night I was on a show and we were watching the clip. Many of you might have seen it. The Well, she's the European Travis Kelce, meaning that's a synonym for a Pfizer prostitute, because she was pitching the whole Pfizer thing to the European. I can't remember if it was European Parliament or Dutch Parliament alone, but this Dutch this guy from the Dutch Parliament was questioning her and said, you know, did you have any results showing that it would stop the spread before you put it out on the market? And of course, the answer was no, because they rushed this thing to market. And her argument in her response, she said we were moving at the speed of science. So your call is right on. They think they're the science. My point is they weren't moving at the speed of science. They were moving at the speed of the money. It was the speed of the propaganda. They had no science to back up what they were doing to not only the American people, but people around the world. And I find it embarrassing that these other nations are calling them on the carpet faster than we are. We're not calling them on the carpet. We're continuing to support them and fund them. We pay for their products. We pay for their advertising. We force people to take their products. It's evil. It's wrong. And that's why I have such a distaste for the sports, professional sports that is sold out to Pfizer and to the other pharmaceutical companies. So I couldn't agree with you more, and it's just absolutely embarrassing. I mean, on the other side of the equation, we had Peter McCullough on the show that I was on last night. He was one of the other guests, and he was talking about five dozen studies on the efficacy of ivermectin when dealing with COVID, and yet they, you know, silenced you for speaking about that, and yet these people were able to force their product on the American people and the rest of the world without any study showing that it would stop the spread. And then they lied about it. Rachel Walensky and all the rest of them getting on television. The president, Joe Biden, stood there and said it would stop with you and you wouldn't get sick and you wouldn't die and you wouldn't spread. All of it. Lies, 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 lies. It was neither safe or effective. Okay, I could get off on that one and talk about it for the rest of our time, and I'm not going to do that. Let's go to next up in Virginia. Charles in Virginia. Go ahead, brother.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of points that I want to make. I'm not sure if the stations monitor or look at preview the commercials, but if they preview that commercial and let it still air, then it shows how corrupt they are. The ones that did the commercial are corrupt and ungodly, and those that give good comments about it are ungodly. And it seems now that things are coming to pass that are written in Scripture, that what is good is going to be called bad and what is bad is going to be called good. And my second point is, when people try to compare the fact that Jesus washed people's feet, he didn't wash people's feet. He washed his disciples' feet. Amen. And Jesus let it be known that he came to his own first. And with the exception of like a person like Cornelius loved God. That's why God sent Peter to him. So we're living in a world that's becoming more and more ungodly, and we have to stand firm and come against the evil no matter what the cost.
Amen, Charles. Oh, good amen. Call, brother. Amen. Good call. Thank you for that. So spot on. And it is our willful ignorance of Scripture that allows us to fall for these things. And by not being saturated in God's word, we get some fluffy ad or a fluffy speech from a politician or whatever, and we think it's so sweet and it's so nice and all that kind of stuff when it's anti-biblical, completely not biblical. All right, David in Texas. David in Texas, you're up next. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Rick, stick with me. Thank you. I love your show, and I enjoy your commentary.
Thank you.
So I'm going to swim upstream here. I think the foot washing...
I had a feeling that was Rick. I love your show, but coming. No, I'm kidding, man. Go ahead.
No. I love your show. I love your show, but I'm going to give an alternative opinion about this commercial.
Absolutely, please do.
If you read Rosaria Butterfield, a pastor invited her to dinner for almost 2 years and never talked to her about the gospel, the Bible, or invited her to church. Ken Smith, that compassion, kindness, and love drew her to what are they thinking?
Yeah, so sure. I agree with all that, man, but did he wash her feet or take communion with her prior to her?
Oh, come on. You guys are being so concrete. The compassion of God, walking a mile in the other person's shoes.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
And loving them.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with all of that. I do
okay,
that.
Okay, you agree with me. I love you, and I love your show.
Yeah.
Let's show compassion and kindness and absolutely earn the opportunity to speak Christ's love into their life.
But David, we have to distinguish between showing compassion and kindness and not speaking truth and literally taking the sacraments and the things that you do after you've given your life to Christ and saying, oh, it doesn't matter if you give your life to Christ, by saying, go ahead and do those things without actually humbling yourself and asking for forgiveness. I mean, there's a difference there, right? So I guess I'm saying I totally agree. Of course Jesus went and had dinner with sinners. Of course we should go and have dinner with sinners. We should reach out to people. We should do all of those things. But that is different than literally washing the feet of someone and showing that, hey, you're now, I'm going to treat you just like you are a disciple, even though you're unrepentant, which is what is projected in those images. It's completely unrepentant, narcissistic, you know, images that you're seeing there, while at the same time showing the people that are trying to speak the love of and truth of Christ by saying that abortion is wrong over in the corner with the signs, they're the bad guys. That's the problem with it. It doesn't distinguish between being compassionate and loving and then going to the point of essentially erasing the concept of sin and erasing the concept of conviction and becoming a disciple. But I agree with your initial point, is that we should absolutely reach out to and to those that need to come to know Christ. Okay, let's look here and see. I got three or four more. Let's get through some of those before I do at least one more. I'm just going to take the one at the top up here. Terry in Tennessee. Go ahead.
Yes, all I was saying was we don't generally watch the NFL.
Yeah.
But we did because my daughter invited us over for dinner, so we're sitting there watching it. And what I saw was, on that scale of millions of people, millions, in the midst of that venue, Jesus was proclaimed, Jesus, just his name, on screen for everyone to see. And I thought about this, and I know, you know, we can critique it all day long, but where were the churches? Why don't the churches come together and pay to have it broadcasted during that time? Or even this, did Paul not say, whether they're doing it for gain or for true purposes, Christ is lifted up, Jesus' name was on the screen for people to see?
Yeah, Terry, listen, here's where I would differ with you on what you're saying. What do we mean when we say his name was lifted up? Right? Because if all you're doing is putting the name Jesus on the screen, totally agree with you. If all you're doing is saying Jesus loves you on the screen, totally agree with you. But if you're putting Jesus's name and lifting it up in a blasphemous way, that is different than what Paul was talking about when someone was preaching the gospel and they were talking about the goodness of Jesus, but they weren't necessarily a follower, or they weren't, you know, they were doing it for dishonest gain on the backside of it. But that's not how it was projected. In this case, you're lifting up the name of Christ in a blasphemous way. You're lifting up the name of Christ and saying that essentially Christ doesn't matter. At the same time, you're lifting up his name, that it doesn't matter whether or not you come to Christ. You're still going to, you know, partake in this ceremony. That's the problem I have with it. Yes, churches should come together and fund ads and proclaim the name of Christ. And there was actually an ad that Mark Wahlberg was part of that was all about praying. And you know, in that case, I didn't go into, you know, look at the details of the ad, but it didn't appear to me to be proclaiming anything that was blasphemous. That's the problem. It's not just lifting the name of Christ. It's lifting the name of Christ in a blasphemous way. And that, in the long run, leads people away from the gospel instead of to the gospel. That's the problem with the ad. Okay, we're going to end with some fun. I only got a few minutes left. We got to have a little joy here together, folks. We can disagree on the ad and all that good stuff. And talk about better ways to lift up the name of Christ. But let's have some fun here. At the end of the day, the Babylon Bee says, 10 signs you're a dangerous Christian nationalist. All right, here they are. Number one sign that you're a dangerous Christian nationalist. You ready, folks? Number one sign is you're a Christian. The biggest red flag of all, Babylon Bee says. Number two, you have voted in an election. You think you're supposed to have a say in who leads the country? You maniac! Number three, you're married to a person of the opposite sex, so there's no telling what horrible things you might do. All right, stay with me, folks. This is all tongue-in-cheek, you know, being facetious here. This is, you know, this is literally, though, what the left thinks
makes you a Christian nationalist, the scary title that they've created. We don't even sure what they mean by it, but apparently if you're a Christian and you voted in an election and you're married, those are the top three things that would make you a Christian nationalist. Okay, ready? Number four, you are currently in possession of an American flag. Only a truly hateful person displays such frightening imagery as an American flag. Number five, you agree with the idea of building a society on principles like, quote, do not steal, do not lie, do not murder. Haven't you ever heard of the separation of church and state? How dare you want to build a society where you teach people not to murder? How dare you build a society where you tell people do not steal? And oh my goodness, you, if you're, this is not in the Babylon Bee, by the way, I'm just adding this. This is a little Rick Green commentary thrown into the mix. If you dare to think that we should encourage in our culture, in our society, to treat your neighbor the way that you want to be treated, that is scary Christian nationalist stuff, apparently. Okay, now back to the Babylon Bee. Number six, you let someone wearing a MAGA hat walk by without punching them in the face. That is disturbing evidence that you agree with Nazis. Babylon Bee's seventh reason, sign that you're a dangerous Christian nationalist is that you pay for merchandise at Target instead of just running out the door. How dare you pay for your merchandise instead of just running out the door? You must be a Christian nationalist. It's probably because you think you're better than everyone else, a classic symptom of Christian nationalism. Number eight, you won't let your third grader join the after-school Satan Club. How dare you? Refusing to let your child hang out with the Prince of Darkness? Why, that's a clear sign that you're a bigot. Number nine on the Babylon Bee's list of 10 signs that you might be a dangerous Christian nationalist. You face Mar-a-Lago five times per day and pray to Donald Trump. All Christian nationalists do this. That's hilarious. Okay, number 10, the number 10, the last reason or sign that you are a Christian nationalist, you own a Bible. Even more dangerously, it's a King James Version. If you exhibit any of the signs listed above, you are officially a Christian nationalist and an existential threat to the United States. It's a good thing that you're already on the FBI watch list. Come on. That's hilarious, folks. The Babylon Bee just doesn't miss. They are so funny. Those guys, oh my, they just... All right, BabylonBee.com if you want to go get the list for yourself and, you know, do a temperature check as you're going through the list and see how many of those that you meet. But that's how absurd the accusations are at any one of... If you're a person of faith, you think you have a right to influence the culture in a positive way, you're some evil person. All right, folks, thanks for listening today. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. And now I want to just take a minute to have a little bit of a heart-to-heart with you. If you're where you can, right now in this moment, put your hand over your heart. Just place your hand on your heart. Yeah, kind of like saying the Pledge of Allegiance, or maybe you're just feeling something strongly. Can you feel that? That heartbeat reminds us of life, reminds us that we're alive. It's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception. It's only 3 weeks in, folks. 3 weeks, and that heartbeat is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on an ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat. Imagine that. They get to hear the heartbeat and they get to see that perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, the eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, the baby's able to suck their thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All your gifts are tax deductible. To donate, you just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and then baby, or donate securely right now at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.